We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I guess, thank you. Mark Conrad, Associate Professor of Law.
Just doing my job.
I know, I understand. And ethics at Fordham, author of The Business of Sports. Off the field, in the office, on the news. Right, Mark?
Correct.
How do we get the book?
Okay, just take a look at Amazon, go online, and just plug my name or the title of the book, and it should be available.
Tell me a little bit about the book before we get going with what the NCAA did yesterday.
Well, the book came about because I just felt that there should be like a comprehensive guideline of the various issues in sports, you know, for fans, for those in the media, and maybe for students as well that deal with everything from, you know, domestic amateur sports, international sports, to professional sports leagues, to gambling, to intellectual property, to marketing. And so the book does cover the gamut of what you're dealing with in this very fascinating but really diverse business.
And it is a business, make no doubt about that, right? When you talk about not just sports, but intercollegiate sports.
Oh, I think at this point, it'd be little doubt that it is a business. It's monetized. People are making a lot of money on it. So it would be a business in my mind.
So yesterday, what the NCAA did basically was put their stamp of approval on what California had done earlier. Walk us through all of that, if you can.
Well, they made a first step, and they said that we will open the door to the idea that students could monetize their names, likenesses, and images after 2021. Clearly, this was a response to the California law and to threats by other states to enact laws that would prohibit the organization from banning this activity. But there are no definitive regulations because the divisions have to approve what they really want to do. And also, there was a line in that release saying that it has to be consistent with the college sports system or environment. So we don't really know what this is going to mean. Will it mean that it'll be an open, deregulated market for students to sell their names to T-shirt companies, or will it be more restrictive? We just have to wait and see. So it's a first step, but by no means is it definitive at this point.
First step, is it a giant step?
It's a step.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if I'd call it a giant step because we don't know what the step is ultimately going to be. But clearly it's reactive. I'd say it's a reactive step. It's the same organization that a month ago was talking about existential threats to college sports, and now they saw the light, and I think they're forced to see the light and said, you know what, this is a new world. The optics are terrible if we continue to ban student athletes from trying to get, for those few that are trying to get these kind of deals. And I think had California not enacted this law, would we be here right now is a very legitimate question.
So when it comes to shoes, can an athlete as it stands now make his own shoe deal, or is that a team thing in college?
Based on the NCAA's recommendation?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know, because that's just the point. They didn't say what can be done, and what happens if the athlete's shoe deal is different than the college's shoe deal.
Right.
Would be an interesting issue. Another issue pointed out, what if the student is an international student on a visa and cannot work in the United States? How would that affect a potential deal? You know, there are a lot of other questions that can come up in this context that we really don't know, and we have to wait and see what the organization is going to do and whether there'll be differences between the three divisions.
We're going to drill down on that when we come back on those questions. And one I have, Mark, you can answer when we return, is if I were an athlete, I'm a four-star athlete, five-star, how many stars they give them, and I'm looking to capitalize on my name and my likeness, and I Google what college has the most selling jerseys because or gear, and then I'm going to think, well, or what college sells the most gear? And I'm thinking, well, I'm already a step ahead of it. So if I think I'm going to be a star, I'm going to that school if there's any advantage or disadvantage. Mark Conrad's our guest, associate professor of law and ethics at Fordham University, author of The Business of Sports, Off the Field, In the Office, On the News. If you have any questions or comments, I'd love to hear from you. You can text them to 87870 or you can call 260-1870. And our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll is asking you, do you think it's a good idea? Back in a flash, Tommy Tucker with you on WWL. 921, we're talking about the decision by the NCAA yesterday, and Mark Conrad, our guest associate professor of law and ethics at Fordham, that athletes can benefit off of their own image, likeness. How would we phrase this?
Well, basically, they would not be prohibited from utilizing deals or making deals that would involve their name, likeness, or image.
So when it comes to, and I'm thinking of all different ways that this could be construed or people could use it to gain an advantage, the player's number, that's not associated with him. Does that belong to the university? Or like, for example, Joe Burrow is 18? Nine. Joe Burrow's nine. Would an LSU jersey with nine that has his name on it, would that be capitalizing off of the university or himself, or would it have to just be some kind of generic purple and gold jersey? Well, I guess if you put the number on it, it's the same thing. Walk me through all of that.
That's a great point, and your point before the break was a great point, too, regarding possible recruitment, but I'll get to this one first. Indeed, the jersey, the colors, the name could be the intellectual property of the university, and somebody dressed in the jersey of the university may not be able to make a deal in that context. You find that also in the professional leagues, that the intellectual property is part of the team, but the leagues and the unions have an arrangement where players possibly can wear those in the context of, you know, multiple player endorsements. But as a private type of deal, it would be very unlikely that the student-athlete, in this case, would be able to wear the colors or jersey or the number of the school.
Not even the colors?
The colors would be tricky. It's tricky because under trademark law, colors can also be trademarked. So if indeed it is such a strong brand identifier for the university, it could be construed by somebody looking at the ad that, oh, this is endorsed by the university.
And I'm not trying to get too much in the weeds here, but there are different purples, right? I mean, there are different golds. Does it come down to generic purple, generic gold in this case, or could it be, well, you know what, there's a couple of numbers off of that purple, is a different purple, it's a number, a couple of numbers off of that gold, it's a different gold. Would that factor into this?
It could. I'll be diplomatic. It could be risky.
Yeah.
You know, these cases are tricky and obviously, you know, very technical, so probably more than we'd want to get into right now, but it's possible that there would be a risk in doing that.
Because, you know, you go to a paint store and you hold up the samples and they got 18 of them, right, and it looks like green to you, but I guess there are subtle differences. So when it comes to video games, can a player make money off of that?
Indeed, depending on the deal, as of now, I mean, let's say when the NCAA allows this in some form, the player could be paid or consent to the use of his name or likeness and make money on those deals. You know, that was the Ed O'Bannon case that came about, which actually did not ultimately rule that way, but it set forth the system, or at least the legal theory that it could lead to this sort of right. So, yes, the answer would be correct. Certainly a player could do that.
Because then I'm wondering, again, not to go too far in the weeds, but so you're paying a player to use his likeness in a video game, say, and I'll pick Joe Burrow just because we all here know him. But then you got an offensive line. I'll pick Deculus, for example, okay? That he's not getting paid, but yet they have an offensive lineman number 75, I think, is Deculus. Yeah. So any number, but the offensive lineman isn't getting paid, but he was the offensive lineman when the quarterback that is getting paid was there and his number is on the line. You understand what I'm saying? He's lined up a player, generic players lined up with that number. Does he then, the guy that wore that number, have any claim or any right?
That would be a fascinating case, because that's exactly what those games did when EA Sports did have the NCAA series of various games. They would not put the name of the player, but they would put certain identifying factors in the player, like, you know, the style of hair, if he wore a ponytail, the number. So it was pretty clear by a lot of fans that say, ah, that player is so-and-so. The other problem for players is that they signed an agreement when they entered college, basically saying that to abide by the NCAA system, they could not monetize those images. You know, the question of the legality of that agreement is obviously going to be put into real serious question at this point. So, but that's a very tricky question, and it's not, it's been answered in some court cases that indeed, if the indicia of the player that you sort of know by the look, by the number, it is that player, it would be the likeness of that player and not a fictional creation.
So I'm an all-star quarterback and I'm being heavily recruited by every school in the nation. Would I then Google to see who's selling the most gear, what college sells the most gear, and then could that lead to my decisions like, well, you know what? If I'm going to make money off of my likeness, I'm going to go to where I'm going to be better known than anybody else, or more likely to sell gear with my name on it.
The question leads to the point, and that's what you asked before the break.
Yeah.
It's a really good point, because is that going to affect the recruiting environment? Or better yet, what if an alum of that school runs an auto dealership and says, in so many words, by the way, I can recruit student-athletes to be my endorsees, you know, and would that be a violation? Could that lead to an unfair situation in recruiting? And that's a fair point.
Well,
that's a fair point, because if the process is affected that way, you know, we don't really know at this point, but it's an argument that's been made against this. And I think, just to be fair, it's a good point to bring up.
And more so than a car dealership, Mark. I mean, it's happening right now. If you look at Oregon, right, and the owner of Nike, and it would seem like if you could easily craft a deal where, for whatever reason, the owner of Nike or the Nike Corporation, I don't know if they're publicly traded or not, they decide that they're going to make every player on the team, in terms of recruiting now, right? We're going to make a jersey with your likeness, whatever it is that you can profit off of. And then a guy with very deep pockets, like the owner of Nike or the CEO, then buys up every bit of jersey. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's almost like you're laundering the money.
Yeah, exactly. And that is an issue that the NCAA is going to have to decide, whether that is going to be a factor. And what happens if Phil Knight, you'd be referring to at Nike, you know, and Oregon has a Nike deal already, then the question is going to be, do you negotiate separate payment rights for certain players, affecting the morale of the team as well, because some players may get paid, some may not be paid. And the California law in particular did try to address that fact indirectly by saying that if this university had a Nike deal for certain gear, the student-athlete couldn't endorse opposing gear or opposing merchandise, you know, from another company. That's going to be a very tricky issue, and I suspect for Division I, that group will have to deal with that.
Is this really about basketball and football when you get right down to it? I don't know if there are any other sports that really produce an athlete that's well-known enough to have their image and likeness used, unless they become a big deal in the Olympics. And if they do, well, then do they lose their amateur status at the Olympics?
No, they used to, but not anymore.
Okay.
Now, many Olympic athletes come in with endorsement deals.
Look at the NBA. But, that's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, you bring up a good point for the Division III schools or the sports that are not that big. Look at Caitlin Hayashi, who made that video went viral online. She was a gymnast for UCLA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and she wrote a piece in the New York Times saying that I cannot monetize that while I was a student athlete. And millions of people saw that video, and I think that there would be some, not many, but some opportunities for students in those programs that are not football and basketball to potentially get some kind of deals. I don't think it's going to be a lot in any context because of the market for endorsements these days, but it's possible.
I appreciate your time. I really do, Mark. And the book sounds like a fascinating read, The Business of Sports, Off the Field, In the Office, On the News. And we began by saying this was a step, maybe a small step, by the NCAA to get this going. But from our conversation, they have a ton of things to think about and to work out.
Oh, for sure.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your time. Have a great weekend. Mark Conrad, Associate Professor of Law and Ethics at Fordham. Hope we shed some light on that. 9:31, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Still to come, we'll talk about the governor's race in Louisiana and the debate that's going to happen tonight. And also, we'll have another code word for you, the $1,000 Cool Cash Nationwide Cash Giveaway. So hang out. We'll be right back. WWL.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.